Song of Solomon, chapter 6. The second one will be a little easier for you to find, probably, and that will be the last chapter of the book of Revelation. How are you doing? Are you there? Good. Good, good, good. Praise God. Could we pray and ask God's blessing on this message this morning? Lord, I want to thank you because you're so faithful. I thank you, Lord, because you have done things in our midst that are beyond what we could have ever understood. Lord, you know how to clean us up. You know how to strengthen us. You know, Lord God, how to love us when we feel so unloved. God, when anxiety has begun to be a mountain in our way, you are the God that speaks and change comes immediately. You said if we would just call upon you, O my righteous, Lord, that you are the God that will bring relief from distress. We ask this morning that, Lord, as we seek you in this word today, that it would be alive. Lord, I know how you've laid it on my heart. I don't necessarily have a lot of ideas of notes. I have just what you've laid there. So I'm asking you to do a great thing, touch every life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to start in the book of Song or Song of Solomon. I think that in the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, two things that are just very important to us to know is that the natural characters, the characters of who is mentioned, that they are a tremendous illustration for our future to consider. When you think about the woman that Solomon had fallen in love with a Shulamite, I think that we need to remember that that's who we are. We're much like a Shulamite, that we don't really fit the bill. We don't really fit like everything is perfect. But then all of a sudden comes Solomon. And Solomon sees this beautiful young lady and he falls in love with her. And I don't mean this in a derogatory measure in any stretch of the imagination, but I do know that Solomon definitely probably was kind of in love with a number of ladies. But one thing I do know is that something was very special about this Shulamite lady, this young woman. And I want to read beginning in chapter 5, verse 1, if you'll follow with me. I'd like to read. It happens in the evening. Some people think that Solomon had just espoused and had married this young woman. Some think that that's where this chapter is reading and coming from. Others think that she is a young woman that he loves and probably will proceed forward to marry. Nevertheless, I want to read this, and we're just going to read a few verses, and I'd like for you to go with me, if you don't mind, verse 1 following. She says, I am come into my garden, he says, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I think it's possible that verse is telling us of a celebration that's trying to take place, or maybe has taken place. Then it goes on, it begins to have the detail between them. It says in verse 2, I sleep, but my heart wakes. Have you ever been there before where you know that you're sleeping, and yet your heart is speaking? And sometimes you wake and you're thinking, you go back to sleep, and you maybe have somewhat of a dream, I don't know. But you just know that on a subject or something going on in your life, it's between your dreams, your subconscious, and everything around you. Have you ever been there before? It's amazing how that can work. And one of the worst dreams I've had in the last several months, I debated whether to tell you this or not, but I'll go ahead and tell you. I was sleeping, and I realized that there was a great event getting ready to take place, and I think it was a wedding, and I was the pastor to do the wedding. And so I'm with all the people in the wedding party, and people are dressed, and they're all getting ready for the celebration of this event. And then I began to realize a couple of things. I realized that I didn't have the right clothes on for the wedding. And then if that isn't bad enough, I realized that I don't have my notes for the wedding. And I'm thinking, oh, you don't have to say anything because you've never had to do this. And then I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to perform this wedding? And now in this dream, I am frantic. I'm trying to figure out, how do I get home and change? How do I get my notes from the office? How do I do all the things I've got to do? And it's almost like out of control. I don't know if that's exactly what she's talking about here, but listen to verse 2 again. It says, I sleep, yet my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, say knocketh. Saying, open to me. Notice the kind and gracious words that he uses. He uses my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, so it's obvious that he's standing outside the door. That's why he knocked. And he's probably now beginning to wonder, do I have the wrong apartment? She's not answering the door. Saying, oh, my undefiled. For he says, my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? In other words, he says, you know what? I was prepared to come in and have tea with you. And then she says, I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Because I am ready for bed. Verse 4. My beloved put his hand on the hole of the door. It's obvious to me that the doors that they're talking about probably in Jerusalem, there was a place that once the bolt had been, you know, supplied and tightened at night, there's still a place that the hand you could work through and try to in a normal setting, you could move things, you could put your hand in, whatever. But now the door was locked. And he had put his hand through this small little, kind of like, not a keyhole, much bigger, but he had put his hand through. It says, my beloved put his hand in the hole of the door. And my bowels began to move for him. In other words, she's laying in her bed across the room, or rooms, and she realizes she sees something taking place, and his hand is trying to open the door. Are you there with me? Are you following? Tries to open the door. It says, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up upon my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. So in other words, she jumps up. She runs to the door. She could hear him trying to open the door, hoping it was not really locked. She opens and goes, and she sees. Here's what verse 6 says. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, and he gave me no answer. The watchmen that were about the city found me, and they smote me, and they wounded me. Keepers of the walls, they took away my veil from me. She says in verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, please tell him that I'm sick of love. Now, that is not like she's sick of love and doesn't want anymore. She's saying, I'm so sick of love for him. Would you tell him that I love him? That's what she's trying to tell him through these people. Verse 9 says, what is my beloved more than any other beloved. That's what the women, the daughters of Jerusalem, tell her. Just like any other guy. What do you mean you're in love? When I read this passage this morning, I wanted to just give you a visual illustration. From Scripture, in the Old Testament, not all doors were probably built the same. In fact, you know, I believe Solomon possibly could have actually probably broke that door in had he really, really wanted to. Or maybe he had several guards with him that probably go with the king, and they could have broke through that door, nothing flat. But when he came to the door and he realized, well, I'm hoping she's not in bed, he begins to knock to his beloved. And she realizes that her heart has been kind of in this quasi area where she's thinking of him, and oh, it's on her mind, and she's visualizing her beloved. And all of a sudden now, there he is at her door. And what does she do? She takes and goes, whoa, I'm in bed. I can't go. I've taken my robe is off. My feet's been washed. I'm ready for sleep. I can't get up. And he says, oh, please, my sister, my beloved, my undefiled, oh, how I love you. Consider me. I'd love to see you tonight. Now, I've read that passage to you, not preaching it. I've preached on this passage before because of the deep thoughts that are in it. But I wanted you to see this passage for where I want to take you. Will you go to Revelation now, the last chapter that I've given you? It's chapter 3, verse 20. And I want to take you in this passage. It's in the seventh church that Jesus made mention of. Of the seven churches, the last was Laodicea. Laodicea was the church that had fallen into this quasi area of a little bit for Jesus, a little bit not for Jesus. In fact, the Lord said, I would rather that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you from my mouth. Listen, God is not interested in lukewarmness. You and I might be interested in, because we don't have to sell out, and yet we can still kind of be okay and everything going okay for church. God doesn't want us in that kind of a frame. He wants us revealed and sold out. It's interesting that there were three cities side by side. One was Colossae, one was Laodicea that I've mentioned to you in the New Testament, and the third was Hierapolis. And these three cities are on like the what would be the western side of Turkey today. It's interesting also that in Colossae is that water would come down from the mountains and it was crystal clear. It was water to drink. It was just amazing water. It's like water we would see around St. Mary's. Crystal clear water. Hierapolis, the waters that came from Hierapolis were probably not from the mountains, but they were more like springs. And they bubbled up and they came up and they were warm and hot to the taste. And when you think about the water of these two, what the Lord is saying is you can't have hot and cold together. It makes it lukewarm. He said, I would rather that you be cold, like the freshness from Colossae, or I would want you to be hot or warm, lukewarm even, like the waters of Hierapolis. Why is that important? Because I think the Lord is wanting to talk to you and I very specifically about one verse. Is in verse 20 of chapter, did I say chapter 3? All right. Here's what he says. He says, behold. I love the word behold because it means like stop, pay attention. Just don't go any further. Put a roadblock up. Don't go any quicker. Let's walk through this very slowly. Behold. I stand at the door. Does that sound familiar? I stand at the door somewhat like Solomon. He stood at the door and he wanted his beloved to open. He wanted to see her before he moved on. And she had a hard time getting out of bed, didn't really want to. She was totally prepared for bed. And when she did get out of bed, what happened? Something amazing. Listen to this. Behold, I stand at the door. Now, this is the Lord Jesus, our Savior. He says, and I knock. And if any man hear my voice, you know, I never realized this until recently, all the times I've ever read through kind of this portion of Revelation. I didn't realize that as he knocked on the door, he also used his voice. I never realized that those two things happened in unity together. I thought that he knocked on the door, just saying, hey, I want to come in. Nobody listens to me. And I'm starting to read this. It says, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. So notice three things. Jesus says, I'm standing at your door, Laodicea. I'm standing at your door. If any man or any one of you hear my voice, would you open the door? He says, I will come into you and I will sup or eat with you and you with me. I don't think you'll be offended at this, but I came across this short story literally this week. And I had never seen this short story before in any print anywhere. And I thought, this is an amazing story. Would you listen? How many will listen with me? We all know the feeling. It's been a busy week, and Saturday morning finally arrives. I slept in a little later than usual and decided to relax the morning away. And as I climbed out of bed, I glanced at the mirror, by accident, of course, and I saw more than I bargained for. A bad hair day. Wouldn't have come close to a description of what I saw. Anybody bear witness with that? Determined not to let it ruin the day, I slipped into my robe, tried to forget the image that I had just seen in the mirror. I picked up the newspaper, I walked to my living room, and I saw blankets, pillows, spread all over the couch. My precious poodle Daisy had strewn toys across the floor alongside of the catnip balls. Who cares? I thought, as I flopped down on the couch to relax. But just about that time, as I got comfortable, I heard a knock on the door. Oh no. Oh no. I groaned. It's too early for company. I rushed to the bathroom. I tried to tame my hair. Quickly washed my face. I hurried and I threw on some clothes. I ran back down to the living room. I gathered up all the blankets, all the pillows. Then I kicked the pet toys into the corner of the room and I threw the linens in the bedroom. And after taking a deep breath, I finally opened the door. No one was there. For the rest of the day, I wondered who was that knocked on my door? I had only heard one knock. Perhaps maybe in my busyness, there was more than one. One day, quite a few years earlier, I had heard another knock. This time it wasn't a knock on the door of my house, but I heard a knock on the door of my heart. As I sat quietly, I tried to pretend that I didn't hear that knock, but there was no doubt as I sat a few pews back in that large church, that Jesus was calling to me upon the open door of my heart. My beloved, would you open to me? On that pew, that morning, my heart began to pound. My hands began to tremble. I had never felt emotion like I felt that day. Since I hadn't regularly attended church, I didn't know what to make of what I was experiencing, but I knew something was happening to me that I could not explain with words. I began to talk to myself in response to the persistent knocking. I said to myself, I have too much to straighten out in my life right now. I can't do this. And when I get it all worked out, then I'll open the door. Please understand that I can't let you into my heart because I have sin in my life, I whispered. When the verse when that verse ended, I was listening to the choir, and the choir picked up their hymnals and began to sing that invitation to the Lord. And when the verse ended, I let out a sigh of relief. But immediately the choir then began to sing a second verse. The pastor asked everyone to bow their head. I was glad to put down my hymnal and to close my eyes. Maybe no one would catch how badly I'm shaking. It seemed as if that particular verse lasted forever. Again, I heard a knock. This time, it was even louder than the first. Next week, I whispered, as the second verse ended. Again, I sighed as the choir became quiet. But the music didn't stop. I looked up, and now before me was the pastor standing there directly in front of me. At that moment, I couldn't contain myself any longer. I opened the door to my heart. As tears streamed down my face, I didn't walk to the altar. I ran to the altar. Jesus met me there despite the sin in my heart. He was there to help clean me up and was able to do that within just a moment's time. And He has continued to do this through all the chaos of my life. The person who knocked at the door of my house that Saturday wasn't near as patient as Jesus is. He made sure when He came to me, the Lord, that He had ample time to answer all the questions from my heart. Thankfully, He wasn't concerned about the clutter of my heart, because that day He accepted me just as I was. That Sunday morning marked a brand new beginning in my life. I've grown closer to God as I've diligently studied His Word and sought Him out in prayer. And while I may continue to have difficulties with even clutter in my house, strewn toys and all from my poodle, my heart is a place of now peace and welcome to the visitor who profoundly changed my life. You know, when I come to passages, things like this, the first thing I ask is, I think, man, that's good. I should use that. Then the second thing is I think, I can't read that much at church because they'd expect me to preach, not read. And then I have to come to this conclusion that that's really none of your business. I'm going to do what God says to do. And that's exactly what I had to do. I wanted you to understand this morning something. I don't know. I started putting myself in the place of my front door. My front door has a big oval in it like this. And when you come up the steps to my front door, you can look immediately to the left. And there are three huge banks of windows. They're like about 12, 14 feet this way, and about 6 feet this way. And I've often thought to myself that when people come to my house, they don't have to knock. All they have to do is turn into the window and go. I want something? And that's how it works at my house. But I can tell you how interesting it is when Donna and I, when she's showing me things to do in my house, and she's saying, now this is how you work the broom. No, it's in the wrist right there. And she shows me how to work. And we're doing certain things together. Then all of a sudden we hear that knock. Knock, knock, knock. And instantly here's what happens. I look at her and she looks at me. We have no idea who's at the door. And we're thinking to ourselves, is this not our time? Is this not Saturday what we... And we're thinking, nobody should be up and knocking on my door right now. You know, I have to tell you something. I don't want to be funny, because I felt the Holy Spirit moving upon me before I ever started to minister this. And He's moving on me now to tell you something. That this is the day of salvation. And that God is wanting to knock. And now He's probably began to knock, and He's knocking on the door of some of you in your heart. He wants you to open. Listen, it is not the front door of your house that He wants to get into, come in and have coffee there with you. He wants to have you open your heart. This is the only other thing that you can open before Him that He wants to come and minister to. It's the abundance of His love in your heart. And I think the heart that we open to him, oh, can you imagine what he can do with it? And I also want to tell you, there's a whole lot of reasons why we keep our heart closed up and bound. It's because of sin. It's because of our, we just don't have time because we have other plans. We want to do things that we can't do if our heart is somewhat exposed and Jesus is ruling our heart. But I can tell you this, the heart is the greatest thing you could ever submit to Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
So the other day, actually it was at night, and it was in the evening, and Don and I were, we have a king-size bed, and so we're both kind of in the, sometimes we don't know if we're in bed or not, it's so big, and we're just laying there in our bed, and so I told her, I said, honey, I said, I found this little book, and I said, I think it's yours, and she goes, it is mine, you know, and I said, well, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, that kind of thing. No, I didn't. And she goes, really? What are you doing in my book? I said, I'd like to read this story to you. So I took and I read that story to my wife. When I was done with that story, she said to me, she said, that's exactly what happened to me. I said, it is? She says, that's exactly what took place in my life. So, honey, come up here. I mean, sweetheart, would you come up here for a minute, please? She went to church one night, and she had the door of her life closed, shut. And yet, the amazing thing was, is that Jesus showed up and knocked on her door. Two things here. I realize that I'm not just like preaching away fast as I can preach. I wanted you to hear this message. I'm just telling you. Two things here this morning. That there are Christians, you need to reopen your door. You need to reopen your door. And the second is this, there are non-believers here and you're still playing the game. You need to open your door to the Savior. Amen?
Amen?
So I told Donna, I said, honey, I said, would you tell that story? And she said she would. So I gave her a time frame, and I told her what she could do. And what'd you just do?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Keep the mic close.
You know, when he did, wow, when he read me that story, I just couldn't believe it. I'm going, really, there's somebody else out there that happened almost exactly like it happened to me? And I'm not kidding. You know, for a long time, Jesus was knocking on my door, knock, knock. Knock. And as time went on, it got knock, 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 knock. And just before I come to Christ, it was knock, 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 knock. Urgency. There was an urgency there. And you know what? I would think, okay, I have to do something. I have to make a choice. Salvation is a choice, you know, like everything else in our life that I told you before. Life is a choice. And so I went to church, raised in a church, didn't know a lot about the Holy Spirit at that time. But I went to church, and I heard all of these things, and just, now, honey, you didn't know this, but the pastor said, today is the day of salvation. And I heard that. And I'm thinking, I need to do something, but I didn't. The next Sunday, I knew I had to do something, but I didn't. And I don't know what was in me, if I was just afraid. I don't know. But whatever is in your life that's stopping you, it's not worth it. It just isn't worth it. So I would hear the choir. The choir would begin to sing, and immediately the tears would just flow, and I couldn't stop it. And there was a guy sitting next to me, an older man, and he didn't even look at me. He just took his hanky out of his pocket and gave it to me. And I'm just wiping and blowing my nose, you know. And so I took his hanky home and washed it, gave it back to him the next Sunday. He stuck it in his pocket again. Choir started singing the same thing, just floods of tears rolling down my face. And I couldn't stop it. And he just reached in his pocket. He's hanking it. This went on for a few Sundays. And I could not bring myself, because you see, there was sin in my life, just like there was in all of us before we come to Christ, and still is. But you know what? There was something that something knocking so hard on my heart that I knew I had to do something about it, because I was miserable. I mean, I was miserable. I was like, sometimes it felt like I couldn't even function right, because I knew the things that I was doing, I was saying, it was wrong, and it was a sin. And I knew, and every one of you out there know, if you're sinning, you do. Because God put something right here in our heart to tell us right from wrong. The knocking became so hard that one day I found myself at the altar. Don't even know how I got there, because I was determined not to go, because I didn't want to be in front of people. And I went. I don't even remember going. I was just, all of a sudden, I just remember being there. And I called upon the Lord. And just prior to that, I was driving home from work, and some of you know my story. I was driving home from work, and I was just, I had such hatred and unforgiveness in my heart for people, for certain people, that I felt had did me wrong. But in retrospect, I did them wrong too. And I was just reaping the consequences. Thank God. Thank God that I was that miserable that led me to Christ. And, sorry. And anyway, I found myself at the altar. I said, God, if you're out there and you're real, you're really real, and you prove it to me. Now, I knew he was real. I was raised in a little Mennonite church, and I knew Christ was real. But I'll tell you what, immediately, things began to happen in my life that changed my life forever. And I'll tell you what, when I said yes, when I opened the door to Christ, instantly, I mean, it was instant, and I knew it, and I knew I belonged to him. And I had that peace of God that passes all understanding. You can't explain it to anybody. You can say, oh, yes, I have a peace. Sure. But they don't know, and they can't understand what really went through and is in your heart unless they've experienced that same peace of God that passes all understanding. So, and you know what? That knock, people knock on your door. But when something knocks on your heart, there's a difference. It's a different sound. And it's a drawing. And again, how do you explain something that there's hardly any words for? But I want to tell you, if you're here today and you've got struggles, we all have struggles, I know that. But if you don't know Christ, you're missing the boat. Get on the ship. Because you'll never be the same, ever, ever. You start reading the Bible, and that word will come alive in your heart. You'll know what it means. You'll understand it. I read it before. Before I come to Christ, I never understood it. But it's this heart thing. It is. It's your heart. You'll fall in love with Jesus when you open the door to your heart. And the love for him that consumed me when I opened my heart. Couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough of him. Your struggles don't have to be real struggles anymore. Yeah, there's struggles in life, even when you're born again. There's struggles. But guess what? We can handle them much better. Because now we have somebody that's got our back. He's called Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to say up here other than I would urge you to get it right. He's after your heart. And if you don't have it yet, you're not going to be a whole person until he gets your whole heart, until you give your heart to him. And he's just standing there waiting. Just open arms. He's saying, come on. Come on. I got your back. I got you from the north, south, and east, and west. I'm surrounding you. I'm setting you free because you gave me your heart. And you know, another thing is, like, how many of you remember the picture? I mean, probably everybody has seen it where Jesus is standing at the door, wants to knock, but there's no doorknob. But you know what? You have to open that from the inside. You have to get in to let him in. Just open the door. I don't know what else to say, honey, but anyway, this altar is always open. You can come up here and you can give him your heart this day. If he doesn't have it, just open the door for him.
So we will close, if you'll do this, if you'll go to the book of Revelation, the book of Acts, I'm sorry, the book of Acts, chapter 16. I just basically want to read this as a short thought to you. It's kind of like one of these thoughts where you know it's in Scripture, but you don't necessarily pay attention to it. But it's there. How amazing it is. Are you in chapter 16? It says this in verse 14. This is Paul. He and Silas had gone to the city of... I got a brain fade. Nevertheless, they were there, believe me. Pardon? Philippi. All right. Were you there? I want to read this to you. It says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us." And then it says, after the semicolon, it says, "whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Then she was baptized, and also her household." You know, for just two verses, that is a powerful thought. And the scripture, if you read prior to it, you discover that she was a seller of purple. Silas and Paul had gone by on the river, and they saw a meeting taking place. Paul never would turn down a good meeting. And next thing he realized, he gets the ability to speak for Christ. Then it says in verse 14, as he is ministering, and these are worshiping God, it says that the Lord, it says, "whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul." And it's hard to get by the receptivity of her life, and then how God took her and opened her heart to be able to turn to Christ. And in my life, I just wanted to know that the Lord could take me, and He did. I still to this day don't know really how He did it when I was saved. All I can tell you is I was saved. I can tell people when they come to altars, I can tell usually if they mean business or they don't. I can tell by the flushness on their face. I can tell oftentimes by the tears that are broken, being broken and set free from their eyes. There's so many things that we are able to see. You can tell if God is working and you want Him to work in your heart. When I presented this morning, I didn't really know exactly where I'd go with this, but I wanted to obey God, and I wanted to tell you that He came to the door. And He says, "I stood at the door of this church in Laodicea, and He began to knock." And He says, "if any man," say this with me, "if any man." What He's saying is that every person is possible. Don't tell me that you can't be saved or can't give your heart to Christ. If any man, what that means is, that doesn't mean if a few people. It means if any and everyone, if they'll just open. And that's what it says. "If any man will hear my voice and open the door to their own heart and life, I will come in to him and sup with him." Much like what I just read to you of this woman in Thyatira, and how she had been a woman that probably cared about the things of God but had never experienced the fullness. But God did that. So I said, "Lord, okay, I'll do this, but you do the other part. You touch the hearts of your people, because it's obvious I can't. And I know He is." Isn't He faithful? Close your Bibles with me, if you will. I'd like to remind you these three little things, and that is this, is that Christ, His goal is to profoundly to change your life and mine. That's what the Lord loves to do and wants to do, is to change your life and mine. Why would we ever hold back? I'd like to also tell you, He doesn't force Himself on anybody. He's not going to force Himself on you this morning, and you need to take it to the bank if you think God's going to shake you and get you ready just whenever He wants you ready. You have to be willing also for Him to come and to put His arms about you, and then you welcome Him into the throne room of your heart. You know, it seems that it just doesn't make sense to the rules of this relationship that I'm talking to you about. But it makes sense to me that He's the one that approaches, He's the one that listens, and He's the one that knocks. And all we have to do is say, "I'm Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender to You because I want more of You." Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. So, Lord, there's a purpose this morning now. You are faithful. You are faithful at the work today that You've given us. Lord, I I just believe. And in the life of the people that are in this house, cause your revealing to take place. Demonstrate your power. Expressly, Lord, show your love. And oh God, I ask that you do something so profound. Lord, I think there are many here who want to experience more of your grace, and they want to experience the beautiful story of love. And oh God, there's so many of us that we could stay in our bed. God, we could take and fill our lives up with other things. We can tell you it's next week, next month, next year. But Lord, you want us today to respond to the knock and to respond to your dear voice. And oh God, to receive your love into our own hearts. Do that, that Lord, nobody else can do. Do it powerfully. There's no church world that can do it. Only you can do it, Lord. Religion has given us so much that has nothing to do with this kind of a love affair. God, change our lives today. We give you praise. We give you honor. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.